Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of. Let's do it.
Rematch Muti.
Yes.
I've got my Muti right here, man. I've got my Muti right here. A new flavor, some tropical flavor, some tropical something. You know. I stepped out earlier on just to get myself some of my own Muti. Yes. So my Muti is some Devil's Peak. I don't know what your Muti is, Claudio and Wanga.
Yeah, mine is very neutral, guys. H2O.
The only luck we'll get with a sponsor from Wonga's end is if it's Wonga.com. Otherwise, you know, at least we got you working down.
I think the only
reason you're whipping out the Devil's Peak today is because Matt's been getting some love from Darling Brew. I think that's what's going on there.
He's been putting me under pressure, but I've been feeling the pressure, man. So I had to step up my game. I had to go to the bottle store today, pick up some beers, you know what I mean? Also, you know, because we can't buy beer on the alcohol on the weekends for home consumption. So I had to get something for the fridge.
And I think that was a decent icebreaker for the show, you know. Whip out the drinks for the ice. Makes sense. I'm just saying. Also, madness. Well, this has been a mad couple of hours.
And yeah.
Crazy.
I'm ripping Go Live TV today.
Yeah, well, not just today. Every Tuesday and Thursday too.
Okay, every Tuesday and Thursday.
Shout out to Warren. He's on the line with us. He just finished some Super Bucks. So that's a Portuguese representative. Also, we need to do some house cleaning here. And the first thing we need to start off with, Selo, you know more about this than I do. So I'm going to open it up and you're going to take it away from here. But congratulations to Mr. Tsapang Makofane, the world's biggest diver, for getting engaged.
Hey, man. I don't know we're going to be releasing it tonight, but the man has stepped up. Tsapang Makofane, the biggest diver in the world. You touch him, he falls. But yeah, congratulations to him and Mulewing. This is breaking news. Here we go. Professor Roboto confirmed it. Here we go.
100%. You know, now you've got a little clip you can send to him as well. We can document it. He has to see this. That's it.
We can drop it to him, man.
And for everyone who is online with us, if you haven't subscribed yet, do that. Tell your friends. Also, if you want to join our Discord channel, it is in the link. And of course, if you want a shirt that Selo is wearing, you can buy it on our website or from Instagram. So now that's out of the way, we can might as well start. Wanga Donga, there's a lot that happened.
Yo.
The first topic is this one. Ronaldo to Man City.
Ronaldo to Man City. It must happen. Yes, it must happen. We need this.
No.
Look, I can't. I don't know why. Obviously, they'll have the reasons why Man United wouldn't want to come and sign him. Or maybe he doesn't want to actually go to Man United. I don't know. But I like that about Ronaldo. It's not going to be easy. I mean, it's in the Premier League. And people are going to ask questions. Can he do it? You know, can he do it? They always like that. And I can't lie to you. I just want to see a good team, do good things. I mean, all I can do now is watch for entertainment sake, because my team is trying to do other things. I think they're trying to kill us. I think Ronaldo to Man City for me, for him, I think it would be a good move. And I think for the team,
this guy.
Yes, they've got many people around.
Why wouldn't it be a good move? I'm confused. Hello, why isn't it a good move? Apart from personal reasons.
No. Apart from the fact that he's played for Manchester United, right? Secondly, is that it's not the type of signing that Man City makes. You know what I mean? And also, he's also not the type of forward that Pep Guardiola likes to sign. Pep Guardiola likes
the one that scores goals.
No, listen. Pep Guardiola wants people who are gonna track back, people who are gonna mark, people who are gonna press. He wants people who are pressing. Ronaldo is not a pressing striker. You know, Guardiola has had Ibrahimovic in the past and it didn't work out. Messi was a forward who was running for the team and so on. You know what I mean? I feel no.
I don't think these points are valid. I think you got to look at the fact that the Harry Kane deal, obviously he wasn't allowed to leave. And I just come out saving face saying, you know, he's staying for Spurs. That's a load of nonsense. I think this deal just falls in their lap 100%. It's 25 million for a guy who's going to get you. Obviously, it's a lot more. Just think about it. He goes to Man City for this £25 million. He's going to get you in endorsements, following alone, all of that. The man charges £1 million or £1 million or whatever it is for a personal tweet. So that following, you guys saw that social media thing I posted in terms of the top three clubs with the most social following. And I think Ronaldo's fifth. Clubs don't even compete with him. So he goes to Man City. He's going to get you goals. We know Man City don't have a striker.
Ronaldo's the most followed person on Instagram in the world.
Exactly. But then also, let's not forget the fact that you've got Pep Guardiola. He's not going to stay much longer at Man City. So this is a quick fix for him too. I know it might not suit his current playing style, if that's what you're saying, Celo. But at the end of the day, the man's going to get goals. And also, there's a bit of a Portuguese contingent in that City side. So he's going to be comfortable. And it's Manchester. Yeah, he knows Manchester.
Yeah, I think, yeah, this is what I was saying. Look, I hear what Celo's saying. Could be, but yeah, I don't care. I really...
You have to talk nonsense. Nonsense.
Look, mine is not even based on numbers or what. I just want him in there. And it's going to be, I wonder, would they actually, if would Sterling stay, would they take the, is Sterling number seven there? Who's number seven? Would they
it's
take
Sterling.
It off him?
It's Sterling.
Would they take it off him?
No, they wouldn't.
I think they would take,
I don't think
I'm asking
no,
him.
I don't think they would take him in number seven.
No, he wouldn't do that, guys. You know, this whole thing of players taking numbers, guys, I think we need to respect the players that are in those numbers as well. You know what I mean? You can't just come here and take a number, you know what I mean? You know, imagine now he just takes sort of numbers of people, you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah. No, I'm just asking.
If there's anyone who's entitled to do that, him and Messi probably are the two players that are allowed to do that. But I mean, in this world where everything has been super crazy, this is seeming quite normal. I don't know if you guys feel the same. Him going to Man City, Messi going to PSG, is not written. These two. Also, does this not lean towards the whole Super League thing that was
also the same group? They're also in the same group in the Champions League, Group A.
Yep.
PSG and Man City are in the same group for the Champions League, yeah, which would be crazy. But I think, man, like, in all honesty, I've been following obviously the news and stuff, and obviously the meltdown from Man United fans and so on. And I think, you know, they're having a meltdown about rumors. You know, and I think rather have meltdown when it actually happens. You know, you're getting emotional for nothing when it's rumors where City haven't even put it in a bid. City wanted to get him for free because Juventus want to let go of him and the fact that he actually earns £25 million. After tax, a season. You know what I mean? So obviously, it's a lot of money for Juventus to have to pay for him. He earns €1 million a week before tax. You know what I mean? So Juventus want to get rid of him, the wage bill off their balance sheet and so on. And they want £25 million, which
I don't think it's. I don't think it was a thing. Wasn't it more him wanting to go rather than Juventus wanting to let him go?
No.
Because as far as I remember, even Nedved released a statement saying that no, it's between him and Ronaldo. They want him to stay. Literally,
yeah.
That was,
I think.
I don't think it was. It wasn't even last week. Nedved said they wanted him to stay, and he claimed that Ronaldo also wanted to stay. They reached an agreement that he would stay, but obviously then that wasn't the truth.
I just think the conditions are ripe for the decision to be made from both parties. You've got a player who's in a squad that's not good enough to help him compete for the Champions League, which is what we know that's the thing he's after. We also know that it's a club that can't afford to have a player like him. So it's just the perfect storm from that end, I think. Also, someone's tweeted now that his agent's in PSG. So Georges Mensch is over there now. So he's gone from Manchester, now he's in PSG. So I don't know what these Man City and PSG are playing FIFA while the rest of us are watching
but stuck in the real world. And also they said that he's, I just saw a rumor on Twitter as well, is that he has been offered to Manchester United as well. So it's just a rumor. We don't know what's happening. I think at the end of the day, I think he does want to leave Juventus. And also I think they are willing for him to go. As Juventus, you know, I think obviously the salary he's earning is obviously dragging on the club as well. And also, he didn't start the game this past weekend. He actually requested not to start the game, apparently. And he came off the bench and he scored an offside goal. Took off his shirt, celebrated, and he got a yellow card because VAR said it's no goal. Imagine you're like, yellow card.
Shout out to Cola for joining us again. Thank you very much. Wonga, what did you want to say there?
No, no, man. It must happen. That's what I want. I was going to say. Ronaldo must come there, take number 7, take the penalties, take the free kicks. I just want to have an entertaining English league this year. That's all. Because I can't watch myself.
Gents, Warren's asking the question, saying, do you think he wants to reprove himself in the English league? I don't know if it's so much about the reproving, but what do you think?
No, I think he's proved himself. That's the honest truth. Well, no matter, even if he came to the Premier League and he, even if he came to the Premier League and he did bad, you know, let's say he scored 15, 12 goals, the guy's proved himself, man. I don't think there's anything he can do to say that he's not a Premier League great. That's my own opinion.
Yeah, I think this is just for personal. He knows his time's running out to the highest level.
But guys, he also wants to
win the Champions League. But I think the best thing.
That's also one thing he wants to do, guys. He wants to win the Champions League. Yes. But he's won one with Man United. He's won four with Real Madrid. So that's 5 Champions Leagues he's won at club level, which is a lot, guys. Messi's only won 4. Messi's only won 4. He's got one more than Messi. So I think. That in itself. Also, Messi also wants to win the Champions League. You know what I mean? I think that's what drives these guys to continue to play, you know, for top Champions League clubs, is because they still want to win the Champions League. You know what I mean? It's similarly to like how basketball players, when they move around, after they turn 30, they only strategically move themselves to teams where they can actually win the NBA title. You know, so similarly now with these soccer players that sign, you know, when they come to the end of their contract with their clubs, when they want to move elsewhere, they actually want to move to a club where they can win the Champions League. You know what I mean? You know, you can imagine a player like Pogba as well. If he does leave Man United, he also want to go to a club where he can win Champions League. You won't go backwards in your career.
It's so interesting that you make that comparison. It's again, you know, the American sort of athletes analogy. Now we're going back to say the American franchise analogy, and you look at the two clubs that have bought these players. That is going down that route eventually. And the two clubs that were directly involved in the Super League eventually. 100%. I mean, these other teams aren't going to be able to compete with clubs like this. That's where we're headed to. And the funny thing is, Wonga's saying he's there for it, right? Because his team's nowhere good, but he's excited because it's going to be entertaining. A lot of your neutral fan, as well as your satellite fan, they're all there for it. So eventually, you know, despite all the loyalty and despite football being, you know, not coming home and all that other stuff, I don't know what you guys think about this. Is this not just another step getting that cog closer to the Super League?
Hey, man, I think...
I don't know.
You never know, man. I think with all these changes and stuff, you know, even Real Madrid flexing their muscles, you know, Real Madrid flexing their muscles and going for Mbappe, it shows that these clubs also rely and depend so much on star players to actually do well. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, Real Madrid, you know, could try and rebuild, let's say for a 2 or 3 year period, you know what I mean, with the young Brazilians and so on and the older guys type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But they also want to now replace the people that have gone and say, hey, let's get Mbappe, let's get back onto the high level type of thing. They're building a new stadium, you know what I mean, and so on. So with the whole Super League thing, that hasn't obviously died down. Juventus, Real Madrid, and Barca are still pushing it. But yeah, let's see what happens. I think Man City and PSG, on the other hand, they don't need the money from the Super League. They don't care what competition they compete in. You know, at the end of the day, they've got the money. You know,
I don't think it's necessarily about the money, Celo. You're saying they don't care. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about them having control. Eventually, they're going to want to run their own league. They don't want to be listening to other guys saying these are the rules. They want to run. They want to make their own rules. And I think if they go to Super League, it's them doing that.
But PSG wasn't involved. But PSG wasn't involved in Super League. You know,
yeah. But if you're telling me he doesn't speak to the guys at Man City, they're all friends, bro.
No, obviously they talk, but they didn't sign on. But also they didn't sign on for their own reasons, because they have a FIFA World Cup coming up next year. So they don't want to anger UEFA and FIFA at all. You know what I mean? They want to be on their good books, because already they obviously got... There's human rights violations in Qatar in terms of, you know... So they're just trying to, you know, stay on the right side of this and stuff. But they are very cocky. A member of the Qatar royal family tweeted that Mbappe is not leaving until we decide that he can leave. Imagine a member of the a member of the royal family tweeted that yesterday. He says you only leave when we decide you can leave.
That's crazy. Gents, okay, before we move on to the next topic, we've got to firstly, Ronaldo to Man City, Wonga, you saying you're there for it. Celo, you against this move? Yes or no? Yes?
You know I'm against it, man.
Okay, he's against it. We've got a question here from Sam. Sam asking the question. Yeah, and shout out to Sam. I think it's the first time we've seen you. Saying, last week was a wake-up call, United being over-dependent on Bruno to deliver. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no. It's not the over-dependency. I think it's also the coach's lack thereof of tactics. You know, I think starting Fred and Matic and also starting Martial wasn't the right way to go. You know what I mean? I think Greenwood had a great game through the middle against Leeds. You should have left him through the middle and started Sancho instead of Martial and play Sancho on the right. You know what I mean? I think that would have been a better balance. And then also start Donny in the midfield, ahead of Fred. Or when you see that things are not working, bring on a Donny. So I think, Pogba played well. Pogba played well and Greenwood played well in that game. We're just unfortunate, obviously, that the chances that they had wouldn't get them over the line. But I think, yes, United can be over-dependent on Bruno last season. But I think last season, when Pogba was firing, it helped a lot, because that period where Bruno wasn't doing well and was being overplayed and overworked, Pogba was the guy who was stepping up, the goals against Fulham, against Burnley, you know, the assists that he made. And when he got injured, that's when we got caught out, and that's when our title challenge disappeared, basically. So I think you definitely...
laughing, Seto, because Wong is pulling the space at his next comment here. So I'm saying, hope faith has been restored in Arteta after yesterday's demolition of West Brom. against City. I mean, we're going to talk about that game, Sam. We'll get there.
Sam asking all the right questions.
Yo, coming in hot, Sam. Thank you. We appreciate that. Gentlemen, before we continue, some legalities, some serious matters. I mean, Mendy, we're not going to say what he was accused of doing, but the man is facing some serious allegations, and he's got trial on Friday in Man City. A lot coming from Man City's camp today, but they've distanced themselves. What do we think about like footballers in these scenarios that, I don't know, get caught up in the moment and somewhat of the prestige that they find themselves in, given the fact that they've never had something like that previously?
The problem with sportsmen is that they think they can get away with things. That's the problem. You think you're a sportsman, you've got all this money, all this fame and stuff like that, and you think that nothing can happen to you like that. You know what I mean? I think, you've seen it in America where people kill, where sportsmen kill people. You know what I mean? Think they can get away with it, and then obviously they get arrested and serve time in jail or whatever. Same thing with Mendy here. He's innocent until proven guilty, but still it's serious allegations. He has to answer for them in court. And if he's found guilty, then Man City obviously need to cancel his contract, and he needs to serve time, and justice must be served.
Yeah, I think, what Celo's saying, I think, I mean, as if you're looking, especially what happens with, especially when things like this happen in sports, I think as a sports person, I think they're living the high life, they're doing what they do. And I think you want to stay away from things like this. Sports people need to be taking, especially let's say someone else, and they're innocent, and they really are innocent, you know. I think you just need to be very, 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 very cautious in the way you approach situations. Unfortunately, I just think it's going to be the way, of a sportsman's life, just because of, like Celo said, you're living on a, people may say, you're the same as us. They're not. They're living on a different level. We know they are.
That's an interesting angle, Wonga. It's going, if you're going to be a professional athlete, it doesn't matter what the sport is, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice that comes with it. You can't expect to be living the everyday person's life if that's what you want to. That's a valid point.
No. You're gonna have to, you can lie to yourself and say, but it's just that's how the world works. You've got you got 25 million people following you. I think the average person probably has like 1 million people following them. It's probably even higher, you know. They looked upon as a superior human being, you know. You are elite, you know. You know, so you just gotta be, and I know, it's the way humans are, but I just think you just need to be cautious in the way you approach whatever you do in your life. When you go out, when you're chilling with your friends, when you tweet things on social media, you've got to be thinking twice. You know, you can't be very
your
role model. I say you can be very opinionated, but you've got to be careful of what you be saying. You just have to be. And I think some of these guys, like, especially, you know, like your Ronaldos, your Messis and all that, obviously their accounts are handled by other people for reasons, because they're trying to keep a certain image. Yeah, for good reason. Yeah. They're trying to keep that image intact so that the other guys can focus on, I mean, other things. That's just how the world is now.
And here's another, just to add to all of the saying, players tend to be very protected with the clubs association, because large payouts do keep things quiet. And sometimes, sadly, that stuff becomes untouchable.
We're untouchable. And that's right there, is that, you know, what then happens is that some of these events are seen as minor events. You know what I mean? I remember all the time during lockdown, Mendy apparently flew ladies from all over Europe, and he brought them.
He's calling agencies.
Calling model agencies to come to his place in the UK, and he had a sex party. Apparently, that's just madness. Like,
this is where you open yourself up. It's just regardless of things are consensual, not consensual. It doesn't matter in this sort of scenario. Like, anyone can spin a story whichever way. He can say he's innocent. That person,
have a partner. Love your partner.
Yes.
Be with a partner and get out of and have kids and just stay out of trouble as a footballer. Because as a footballer, people will try do weird things towards you. You know what I mean? Remember the Wayne Rooney thing where Wayne Rooney got drunk and they kind of took advantage of him being drunk, you know, but also he wasn't supposed to be there as a married man.
Listen to Tilo, Man United till he dies. Doesn't matter what happens. Listen to
I do not condone what Ryan Giggs has done.
Good. Yeah. All right. That's good for you. Finish off here, Wonga, before we discuss the next thing there. Yep.
No. I was gonna say, like, no, in terms of what Red Rooney did, you see. In that sense, he, like, if you put, like, again, pictures can be taken, you know, people can record now. In fact, people, I don't know how that, it's actually a reflex now. People record everything. You just gotta be, you gotta get in your home, stay at home, go to training, come back home.
I mean, and also, like you said, man, it's a reflex. The phone is an extension of the human hand. That's what it is. It's part of the human anatomy now. Gents, the UEFA Champions League draw just happened. Any shockers here? Any exciting ones? Apart, obviously, the big one. PSG. Do we not think this is slightly rigged? PSG versus Man City. When all this talk is happening, they've just signed Messi, Ronaldo possibly. Is this also not a move that says, you know what, we really want to get this Ronaldo deal? You know me with my conspiracies, but we really want to get this Ronaldo deal over the line. Let's just pair this game up. Let's make sure this game happens.
I don't know. I've not seen the draw myself.
Do you care about that? It's like, I just want to watch.
Look, I mean, if it's rigged, that obviously, you know, there'd be a huge controversy. But look, I'd like to see the two play each other. To be honest with you, at the end of the day, someone who likes soccer, I'd like to see it. So yeah, maybe I would be lenient. You know, you wouldn't worry too much about it.
But guys, you know what you find, Claudio, is that teams that are not in the Champions League want such things to happen. Do you know what I mean? They don't care. They just want to see chaos. They just want to see carnage. They just want to see
in the beginning.
They don't really care. You know what I mean? Whereas us, we the Champions League, we think about it strategically. We think about it thoughtfully. You know what I mean? He just says, like, hey, man, let it just rip. Let it rip.
Let it just happen.
Let it rip. So he's even thinking, like,
if someone else is in pain, that's entertainment for me.
He doesn't care. He's watching. He's watching the sidelines. He's got no European football this season.
We're going to be talking about this weekend as well. It's coming up.
I'm laughing because what's saying, it's not something I thought about, but I won't lie. I admit it's probably the truth. Because in ours, when we're in Champions League and we did the draw, I'd be like, nah, this thing's rigged. How can we always get Barcelona? Exactly. How do you always end up with playing Bayern Munich? Like, every time lost 16, you have to play those guys. It was a given, you know? in the final we played, so yeah, I wouldn't deny it. Probably that's also the reason. I want to see Carnage, boy.
But let's talk about Carnage. Group A, Sam saying Group C is a good one from a competitive perspective. Group C is Sporting, Dortmund, Ajax, and Besiktas.
I like B. I like Group B, guys.
Yeah, Group
What's
B,
B? What's
look,
B?
Look, it's a tasty one. It's Atletico, Liverpool, Porto, and AC Milan. That's Milan, tasty.
Yeah.
There's some flavor there.
Three former winners.
And also, the group stages sides, finishes win.
Can I just say, it's sides that Liverpool land up playing in the Champions League all the time. I don't know how this works. Can you guys explain this to me? AC Milan, Porto. I mean, they faced Porto in the last 3-4 seasons. Atletico, the last one before they got knocked out. AC Milan, we know the history they have there. So it's going to be a nice, spicy one there. But Man City's one, gents. Man City, PSG, and here's the kicker.
Leipzig.
Is there a possible upset here?
No, man. I think with Leipzig, guys, Leipzig firstly lost their coach. And then they also lost Upamecano and they lost Konate. Yeah. So they lost two of their defenders and the coach.
But Leipzig don't build a... They haven't built a club on a particular manager's philosophy or player. No. They've got a system, they can just plug and play.
Yeah, I know, because they got Salzburg's manager. So obviously it's a succession planning type thing, you know. I mean, obviously Salzburg is almost like a feeder. So they took the American guy who was coaching Salzburg, and he's now at Leipzig. And then there's a lot of players that have moved between the clubs. You know, there's this Hungarian guy who moved there as well. Yeah. So I think. Maybe let's see.
Yeah, it's football. That's the only reason that you'd say because they have a. You'd say it's football. They have a chance, you know. But
But Joe, those are the only ones really standing out to me. I mean, I feel sorry for Benfica having Barcelona and Bayern, but former Benfica side. You know, Barcelona aren't exactly flying at the moment.
Wasn't Barcelona and Bayern in the same group last season as well? I was mistaken.
I don't know. I just focus on Liverpool, bro. Yeah.
Or was it last 16? Because I remember the Barcelona punishing Bayern. Was it Bayern punishing? Nabry scoring against Barcelona. But yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter.
But you see this point, Nabry. Yeah? This is the point I was making, yeah, with this conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Perhaps now Ronaldo will be more eager to come to City after the draw. This is what I'm saying. Like, the camera was zoomed in on the owner's face while this draw came out, and he was like, I was like, bro, there's so much going on in this man's head right now. He's organizing the Ronaldo deal. He knew this was coming. I was just like, no. This man is getting caught here on TV. That's but all I can.
They were conspiracy. People are actually looking at the possibilities of it being rigged in terms of what, you know, like what technology is there out there that could, put these things out.
You probably what? Think
like some of them were hot balls. Some of them were thinking hot balls. Cold balls. They're saying that like some the balls that they take, the hot ones, the guy in there must. Yeah.
Cold
that's
balls
what I've
heard. So guys, today we're blaming
Essien and Ivanovic because Ivanovic and Essien were the guys doing the draw. So they were because obviously defending champions bring player ex players. So they pick out. And so they're the ones who are rigging this thing.
That's what I'm saying.
See,
yeah.
No. Can I just say, both guys. Both of them are not unfamiliar to oil money. That's all I'm saying. These Chelsea players, they know how the oligarchs, they know how these people work. And they're just in the same circles when they're in the WhatsApp groups. Anyway.
Yes, right. 500,000.
So overall, I mean, we haven't touched on the Group F, Man United's group. It seems fairly straightforward and a good one for Ole. Maybe putting more pressure on him if they don't get the results. What do you think, Silo? Villarreal, Man United, Atalanta, and Young Boys.
Young Boys, yeah.
No, if he doesn't get results, that's not
easy.
Yeah, but
that's not going to be.
He
needs to get that.
He doesn't get through the group stages.
Aye, man. You see, the problem is with Man United's leadership and owners is that those guys, man, they don't seem to care about winning. To be honest, they only care about being in the Champions League. You know what I mean? So exiting the Champions League early again in the group stage. I think then it would for them. I think they would maybe wanna get rid of him because I think also necessarily they didn't want to win, but they actually wanna at least be in the quarterfinals or something like that. I don't know exactly because it's more money, obviously. You know what I mean? It's more viewership and all of that stuff. It's more gate takings and all of that. You know, it's more prestigious games where Champions League can charge a higher price than a Europa League game. You know?
As a sales rep, you need to get your commission across the line. And you know, one of the things being a manager in the Champions League is the further you go, you just said it, you make more money. And if he's not doing that for Man United, what is he really doing then, apart from relying?
Exactly. So I think then they would want to definitely take a different direction, because of that. But yeah, man, I think the club is. Hey, man, sometimes you wonder what goes on in the corridors of Old Trafford and Carrington, because a club needs to be run in a certain way, and we're not running the best way possible. I think as a football club, you know what I mean? We haven't won the Premier League for 8 years. That's bad. You know, the fact that your city rivals have dominated in that time, and even your long-standing rivals have actually won the league and the Champions League in that time, is not good. You know what I mean? So it should hurt the club, but doesn't seem to hurt them, because they're not going out. Look at what Chelsea has done in the transfer market in the last 2 seasons. They're ambitious.
Hey, this window, and they're not stopping.
Exactly.
They're going to get
Koundé, you know what I mean? So there you can see how the ambition with Chelsea is, that last season they signed so many players, and then they got rid of Lampard. Ruthlessness. A club legend, ruthless, you know what I mean, type of thing. Where's Man United? Mm. Kumbaya, my lord, you know what I mean?
Even the signing of... look, I mean, yeah, Jordan Sancho is one for the future. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's what I'm saying. Why sign someone that's going to do, you know, the business now, you know, today? That's what Chelsea has done, literally. They've signed people that are going to do the business today.
So you're saying Sancho for the future. But he's not for the future, man. He's 21, man.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the way he's playing him now, I'm just saying it's not going to be for... Something this season is going to look in and out. That's what it looks like. I think it's going to be at Man United. I don't see him playing every single game. Someone you're going to be relying on.
I think it's too early to tell, man. Two games is too early to tell.
Yeah, we'll see.
Talking about too early to tell, only a madman would make this prediction. But I'm going to ask the question. In this Champions League, if we're looking at the group stages and, you know, just generally where teams are at from a preseason perspective, signing perspective, does anyone want to make a prediction as to who they think will win the Champions League this coming season?
Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, that was fast. Messi. The Messi factor. Is that what you're saying?
I think, yeah, the Messi and the Ramos factor. Natural-born winners, leaders.
Donnarumma. Those guys are playing FIFA, bro.
Donnarumma, a huge, massive goalkeeper. I think that those two signings, the experience that they bring to the team, will take them over the line.
I think Silva's correct. But if Ronaldo signs for Man City, I think they have a big shout as well. I think he's the same as well. It's just a winning mentality. I mean, they won. In terms of tournament football, he's won the Euro with Portugal. He wasn't there in the final, but I think he played a big part. In what happened there, so...
You see what Sam is saying?
I was saying, pretty spelled with spaces to allow...
I love it, man. Hey, Sam, you're a great addition. You're a great addition to
You can stay, sir. You can stay, Sam. Sorry, we'll get round up and then we'll get on to the Premier League. Round up there with the master.
That was it. If Ronaldo signs for Man City, I think they have a shout. I would say Man City or.
Do we not think that both these teams, the expectation now is ramped up, putting more pressure?
Yes.
They were struggling with pressure before that. So it kind of opens up a door for Chelsea to do the double, to win back to back, possibly with Tuchel doing it with the younger players.
With no pressure.
Bring in Lukaku, less pressure. Yeah. And then looking, I don't know who else realistically, who else would you say? Maybe, I don't know, Atletico maybe, Bayern, I wouldn't say. I think Bayern are in transition sort of phase. I mean, realistically, apart from those two, and I'd say Chelsea, who else would you say are capable of winning? I mean, Liverpool, if Ronaldo goes to Man City, I think, can we all kind of say that it's there's a certain level of game over for the Premier League if Ronaldo does that move.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Yeah.
So then we could say, if that's the case, then Liverpool could maybe, you know, Klopp could focus a little bit more there on the Champions League, possibly.
But then remember, you guys remember again, Salah and Mane are gone for, I think it's a month or two. I'm not too sure on that one.
It's a month.
Three weeks to a month. And how much Champions League football is that in January? Do they actually play?
No, they don't play. It's too cold. It's too cold in Russia and Denmark and those countries.
So they play
Champions League in March.
So then it makes sense for them to focus on that. Interesting point there. Okay, gentlemen, it's that time. Wongadenga, we're going to put you in that hot seat. It's a warm, warm, warm one. This way, we're going to talk about the upcoming game, Man City versus Arsenal. We've already got a predicted draw out there from Sam, but what do you think is going to happen here in terms of riding off the 6-0 victory, off the back of a 6-0 victory? Come on. Confidence is high, Wonga. Confidence is high.
Okay, so firstly, Ronaldo must sign for City end of the window, not now, but tomorrow. try and put him in there. Then he's screwed. We stopped. But on a serious note.
Look who's back here. Look who's back here, Silo. Come on. Keep your eyes on the screen there. Come on.
Niklas Lagan.
Give him a little shot. Niklas, what's up?
How's it?
Yeah, look, guys, it's the same like with Chelsea. I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think Arsenal have anything to play against. We said it last week when they lost against Tottenham. We knew that no, you're going to get a hiding, you know, Pep was, and that's what Pep does. The next game, it responds like that, you know, and he's going to want another response. He wants to keep that momentum going, and he's pretty much been successful with that. And I think Arsenal have probably been the complete opposite of what, Man City are doing, you know. So I'm not going to even expect them to win. I don't even expect them to score, to be honest with you, unless we get kicked and get a penalty.
No, man, you guys scored six goals yesterday, man. Come on, let's go.
Aubameyang
hat trick, come on.
Come on, guys.
This noise about Aubameyang leaving. Is this the player wanting to leave and the club trying to cash in, or is it because it seems like Arteta is keen on keeping him for obvious reasons?
Yeah, of course he's keen on keeping him. As far as I understand, I think it's just rumors. It's like, cause that's what it says. It's not like even the player himself has said anything. It's literally just rumors. Barcelona came out and said, like, there was a rumor that he would go to Barcelona and then we would get Coutinho. And Barcelona came out and said, that's absolute nonsense. That's just been breathed out of fresh air. You know, it comes off nothing, based off nothing. But that's the information we get. And so that's how I'll go about it. And then, look, Aubameyang, good striker. I think, yes, he will be dangerous again down the middle. We started him yesterday. He saw it down the middle. The first goal, there again, he showed it pouncing on again. Yeah, it was West Brom, but it's just, you know, kind of showed like, this is the guy we need to score our goals. He, Aubameyang had, when he came to Arsenal, 36 games. He had 22 goals. The next season, playing down the middle, 22 goals, 36 games. Literally repeated what he did the previous season. Then the season they played him down the middle, 10. I mean, down the wing, 10.
The wing, yeah. That doesn't make sense. You can't just play his position and then think that he will still have the same output.
Yes, and even the worst of that seller is going to put someone who was in the team as well, who had less goals than him. Even the goal ratio was less than him, and then you go put him in his position. I understand what he's trying to do, but you can't fiddle with your goals. You can't, if you don't score, you don't win matches. You don't, for me, you can't fiddle like it's like a Tottenham.
How can you drink water, Wonga?
So, like Tottenham, if Tottenham have Harry Kane in the team, they're not, and then Son comes in the team.
If you're gonna
and
what?
Like, oh.
If you're close the tap, how are you gonna drink water?
You're closing your tap, you're not gonna get anything. Yeah, you're not going to get anything. But he's saying, they're not going to get goals. It's the same thing.
I think for Arsenal, the players, it's good. You know, confidence, the guys can see, you know, they can actually score goals. But the thing I liked about yesterday, and you'll see it again in the goals that Arsenal scored, none of those goals came from us passing the ball, doing 50 passes and then getting a goal. No, all of those goals came from exposing the space at the back. You know, those quick plays, someone driving forward, making a pass. You saw Saka's goal as well. Saka runs through, beats a man. There was even a chance where there was even an opportunity where, I don't know if, if those of you that didn't watch the game, halfway line, Saka goes around someone. And there, now they're full on attack. There's three defenders versus, three Arsenal players, you know. That's how you're pushing it. But I feel like when you're playing in the, when you're playing in the league, and we did it against Brentford also, I can't understand why, is that we want to take our time. We're giving the opposition time to get back. No one's taking the chance of like, let's try and expose the space at the back, before it closes. And that's what the teams, Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham, those teams that won, that's how they scored their goals. Man United in their first game. You saw it, Celo. You have to expose the space to the back. You got to take the chance, put the pass through, let the guy run.
And play quickly.
Yes. But this thing, Arsenal love this thing. When you play against other teams, it's, oh no, let's be more cautious, which doesn't make sense because the teams love that. They're like, oh, let's come back, let's sit back. Then we'll punch them on when they're coming and drawing all their players towards us. But again, for me, just, The like Sam is saying, Arsenal need a strong centre back. We need centre backs firstly. Maybe we've got one in Gabriel and Ben White. We'll see. I haven't seen much of Ben White. Last season, his team was bottom of the log.
Ben White's not hard, but he is talented.
But guys,
but guys,
we need to remember as well, guys, is that Brighton may have been very low on the log, guys, but their goal difference was better than six teams ahead of them, I think, because they didn't concede a lot of goals last season. They also
that wasn't all down to him though.
No. They didn't concede.
But it was
obviously it was him. Ben, what's his Dunk? Dunk obviously I think is the leader obviously in the defense, and then that other tall European guy, the left back, the left footer guy type of thing. Yes, but I'm just saying is that he contributed. For them not conceding a lot of goals last season. And I think, he does have the potential. And I think that's what Arsenal signed. Like I saw there's this Instagram page I follow that just focuses on young players. And they're saying that Arsenal actually have a very good under 23 squad right now. You know what I mean? Aaron Ramsdale, Gabriel Magalhães, Ben White, Martinelli Aprante, Odegaard.
Yes.
Saka Smith role, you know what I mean? You know, so they've got Tavares that you also signed as well. So they've got a couple of guys that they've signed. That, and as Sam said, right, is that the potential is there in the players they've signed. So firing Arteta and bringing in a new manager, you know, won't help because that manager has to start from scratch. You know what I mean? So maybe just give Arteta 10 games and see after 10 games where you guys are sitting. If you're sitting at the bottom in the last five positions, then you must go.
Okay, but sorry, Wonga, I just want to say, we're talking 10 games. Let's talk today's game or this weekend's game, Man City. If they are to get something versus City, how are they going to do this? I mean, we got Warren asking, you know, one-touch football conference against City. Are they going to be looking at the Spurs blueprint as how they went about the game and tackle the high line? Is that probably the only thing they can do? Sit deep and wait for it. Get a player like Aubameyang.
I think, honestly, Claudio, guys, I don't think we have what it takes to beat City. We have what it takes to score against them. I think in Aubameyang, I think in Smith Rowe and Saka. Let's say if you want to score, we'll do exactly what Warren said. If we do quick passes, Smith Rowe works hard. I think we've got the guys up front to do that. Pepe needs to relax. He must stop trying to prove himself, you know, just try to play the game. Because I can see many times he tries to dribble and many times he fails at it. Even West Brom, Brentford, he's done this and he keeps on losing the ball. He needs to look up, maybe rather play a pass, get into space and then, you know, try and finish, you know. I think that'll help us score goals. But City, going forward, dangerous. They've got the Sterling, Mahrez one-on-one against Pablo Mari. Imagine it. It's gonna be a Boateng and Messi all over again. He's gonna be twisting and turning and just put him on the floor and then he's gonna put it in the top left hand corner. The person who might save us, who might keep us in it, Leno every game makes it respectable for us. He made it the first game, made it respectable.
Only after he concedes the goals though. Then he pulls out the saves.
Look, he made it respectable. And the goals, what can you do about the goals though? Leno's made like one or two blunders last season, but the stuff he saves, like the one against Lukaku, There was another one in the Chelsea game where he saved as well. Whose shot? It was, who's that right back? Reece James. He had a shot against him.
Yeah,
it was but we're going to be open. We're going to be open. We're going to get shots coming in left, right, and center. I don't see
us winning. On that note, let's make the prediction then for the game. Cedo, let's hear your prediction then, and we're going to hear yours longer. What do you think is going to happen?
Do I have to call a prediction?
Yeah,
3-1. 3-1, Cedo. 3-1, City.
Yeah, 3-1 to City. I'm going to give Arsenal a goal.
Yeah, I think with the Aubameyang playing, it's possible. I would say 3-1 as well. Yeah, 3-1 as well to City.
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah, I think they'll dominate us. Kevin De Bruyne. You know, I think Kevin De Bruyne always assists or scores against Arsenal, even if he plays against us. That's what they said.
Shame, man. And that left side got punished last weekend.
Kevin De Bruyne, Case is going to be watching Kevin De Bruyne. And I mean literally watching him. He's not going to even do anything. Shaka. Yeah. He's going to be literally just watching him.
Listen, Sam's still out here. I don't know what this is, loyalty or just pure like blind madness. I don't know what this is. 1-1 saying Sam. You know, Sam, if you're right, we're going to have to get you something from Goal Lounge. That's just, I don't know. It's a bit crazy. Gentlemen, Liverpool versus Chelsea. I want to hear your thoughts.
What about your prediction? Oh, you don't make one.
Did I not give one?
No. You don't have to clarify, fine, though. Let's go to Liverpool.
No, look, I think City are going to... There's just no ways Arsenal can get something out of this. There's just no ways.
No,
yeah. I'm thinking it's 2-0. 2-0 Man City.
So Al Ahly has just confirmed Percy Tau signing.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that? Who was it that was calling Percy? They called Percy Tau for a call-up or something.
I said 3-1 earlier. Yeah. No, I changed it. See, two goal difference. 2-0, 3-1.
Okay, cool.
Perfect. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, next
time. Yep. Liverpool, Chelsea, gentlemen. What do you think is going to happen here? Tuchel.
Let's ask you first, brother, please, man. Let's hear what you have to say, man. I think it's important. We need to hear your voice.
What do you say, Claudio?
Look, I think the Chelsea, this is going to be an interesting game. We do know that Klopp doesn't 100%. Set up. We've got to take two managers, both these managers. Tuchel followed the footsteps of Klopp, Mainz, Dortmund, etc. But what I feel the difference between these two managers is the one is more academic in his approach. And the other one knows his football, knows his philosophy, and believes in his truth, if that makes sense. So the one is an idealist and the other one is an academic. And when I'm looking at that and I'm going, you've got to pull a result out of this. You've got the one will settle for a point, whereas the other one's going to do what he believes and he's going to go all out. So that's pretty much the counter. I think Tuchel's going to be thinking, how can he stop Liverpool and how can he get something? Both teams, I think, at the end of the result will take a point. It's early in the season. You don't want to be dropping 3 points. 1 point's better than nothing. And obviously for Chelsea to get a point at Anfield would be massive. But Liverpool's perspective, we've got to be understanding that a lot of players have had a good preseason. A lot of them had off period. They're coming back fresh. It's going to be a loud Anfield. Loud. Yeah. And we've just got to see Robbo whether or not he's back at left back, because that's going to be a huge boost as well. Tsimikas, he's done the job. But obviously Robbo's chalk and cheese difference. And it's going to be interesting to see who plays in midfield. But, you know, Tsimikas, yeah, the poor boy, man. Poor little Greek boy. He's eating his baklava in the left back position. At least when he gets back to bench, you can have the baklava there. We'll have it there on the side.
But it wasn't yours. I mean, I thought it was decent, man. Come on, let's see. Yeah, I mean, your first game he was horrid, but I mean, well, defensively. But I mean, second game, I think he did a lot better. And I think he was a good addition to that team. Yeah, good backup.
He's not a bad player. Yeah. You know what kind of player he is? He's one of those that he's got ADD. He can't focus for 90 minutes. And he's wild. You know, there's only so much you can do with a wild player. Do you understand what I mean? Like Moreno, left back. Wild players are just so unpredictable, even on your side. So you don't know. He can give you a 9 out of 10 performance or he can give you a 3 out of 10. And that's the risk when you sign a player like him. In my opinion, that's the vibe I get from him. Is there anything you want to add here?
No, I think it's going to be a very good game. I can't wait to watch the game. Definitely the match of the weekend for me. Obviously, I think it's two teams that are going to end up in the top four this season. Obviously, we don't know what position. But I think, yeah, they both won 2 out of 2 games. So it'll be good to, it'll be a good test for Tuchel's team to go to Anfield and rejuvenated Liverpool. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see Lukaku as well against the centre-back pairing of Van Dijk and Matip will be interesting. And then, as you said, the midfield combination, I think he definitely needs to start Hendo, Fabinho, and who's another guy? Maybe a Keita, maybe. I don't know who's the third guy, but the third guy.
Keita's had 2 and 2 so far. He has, yeah, so, depends on whether or not Thiago's fit as well, yeah.
So I think a Keita with a Fabinho and a Henderson will be a good midfield combination for that game. But yeah, it'll be great. It'll be a great game. Fans back in the stadium, you know what I mean? Anfield, yeah, walkers, crowd, whatever, you know what I mean? I think I've got plans in the afternoon on Saturday during the Arsenal City game, but I definitely made sure I don't have plans when Chelsea are
over. Okay. I see.
Jets, I want to ask in terms of Chelsea's, from Chelsea's side, if they do get something out of this game, I mean, people already tipping, Moss has come out flying off the bat saying, you know, their title challenges, everyone's putting them finishing second, definitely top four. If they get something at Anfield, 3 games in this season, I know people tend to get excited and carried away, but how realistic should we be looking at their title credentials?
If they get 3 points, Musa will probably somehow get the he'll claim it. He'll probably go and fetch the title himself and say, no, it's literally ours. That's the way he is. But I think, yeah, look, whether they lose it or not, I think they are contenders. I think if they win it, then the expectation, I think the underdog status of them, not that they are underdogs. I just think it'll be more in the light now, you know, and people will be more cautious of them, coming the,
Can I give a shout out to Mark there, man? All the way in Cape Town. I used to work with him. He's a friend of mine. He's a Man United fan and arch nemesis of the Gunners.
Mark, welcome to the show, man. Thank you.
You see what the job criteria was there, eh? Hey, Claudio.
Yeah. What job criteria? Okay.
Man United fan.
Come on, guys. Look like this. Started off, we're going, what color red? No, the deep red. Not the bright red, no, deep red. All right. Horns or halos? No, horns. No, okay.
Exactly what happened.
Love it. Right. Prediction for this game, Jeff, before we talk about the last game for the show.
Oh, prediction for the game.
Chelsea. Yes, sir.
Okay. Is it me or Wonga first?
Wonga Denga.
Okay. Look, I think I wanted to mention, I think a player that's also been a good addition to Chelsea. They've got Lukaku, but I think Alonso coming back in the team. You saw his score, took the first free kick it was their first free kick. And he put it in the back of the net with ease. I don't think the keeper even moved, if I'm not mistaken. And that's like sort of, I think he can be, and obviously, there's someone on a set piece is very dangerous in the team. I don't think Liverpool have, although they've got Trent as well. So, but I think in terms of Chelsea competing, I think that's a great addition to a squad. I really couldn't understand why Lampard took him out. But your result, it's very hard to say which way the game is going to go. But I'd say, let's say 2-2 draw. Look, I really don't know where it's gonna go. I just want to see Lukaku fold Van Dijk. That's what I want to see. Just fold him.
Fold.
Yeah. Like that. Fold him.
Gents, Lukaku. So you're banking on Lukaku scoring in the game? Then is what you're saying? Actually,
Lukaku will score. He's gonna put Van Dijk on his back, and then he's gonna put him in the back of the net.
On his back.
Lukaku scores. Yes, literally back. Carry him.
Where are you getting this from? Physically carrying him.
Literally. That's what Lukaku was going to do. Literally.
Yeah, man. He might be the big man up front, but Van Dijk's the big man at the back, boy. He's not playing games.
We'll see.
Man speaking madness.
Listen, in all honesty, man, I think it's going to end in a draw, but a 1-1 draw. It'll be a tough game, very cagey as well. As we said, you know, I think Chelsea definitely, with their manager, they are And they know that, you know, last season, you know, when they played against City in the league, and they beat City, I think they showed, you know, that they can, you know, have an assignment to say, okay, cool, this is the assignment, guys. We need to play in this way, discipline type of thing. You know what I mean? So I think Tuchel, if he tells them, guys, this is the, this is the plan for the game. This is how we stick to it and so on. You know what I mean? Which won't allow obviously Liverpool to play their fluid game and so on. So that's why I think it's going to be a 1-1.
Exactly. And you know, to that point, when he came in, that's the first thing he got them doing was being organized. And he's playing the same way, three at the back, attack, wing backs. And Liverpool, how we play, we know he's not going to change it. Klopp's not going to be inventive or creative or innovative. He's going to play his 4-3-3. And if you're already playing the three at the back plus your two wing backs, that's five at the back at any given time. So they're going to sit deep. And with Lukaku, they're going to hope they're going to catch something on the break. They've got...
No, definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if... Okay. Obviously, I think the I don't know if Thiago Silva is ready yet, but I would be surprised. What's this? Chelsea have this tendency. This tendency is that for big games, right, they play Azpilicueta as the right wing back, right, and for other, for other games they play him as the right centre back, and they play right they play right centre back, and they play Reece James right wing back. So when they feel like they're going to be attacking a lot, they play Reece James right wing back, and then Azpilicueta right centre back. But when they feel that they're going to be a bit more defensive, they play him right wing back as Azpilicueta. So I think you should definitely watch out for that. I would even be surprised if a Chilwell also starts.
I think you're right in that, Solo. I definitely don't think Reece James is going to start this game. I've seen him many times. I'm not happy with the fact that he got away with a penalty on last weekend. But I've seen he's been
This Chilwell comment here, Wonga, this one. Chilwell to start to cause problems to Kent. It's a Trent. It's Kent. Trent. That's risk. That's too much of a risk for Tuchel. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be playing an attacking left back there. You would too much so, like, you would have one that's more like... Who's better defensively, Alonso or Chilwell?
I think Chilwell's better defensively, but Alonso's very good attacking.
Sure. And they need the set pieces. I think you... In a game like that, you want to pinch everything. Every opportunity you get, you need it to be on point. And if they can take a good corner, Lukaku rocks Van Dijk, puts it back of the net, you get a good free kick outside the box.
Hey, he's on this. He's on this Lukaku Van Dijk situation, guys. Yeah. I can't really say it's going to be a battle now, guys.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to be tweeting your face all
Saturday. You're going to rock him.
Yeah,
you think Pickford folded him? Ha, wait till Sunday, son. He's going to fold him.
What is the prediction? You said draw. You said draw apart from your folding. And you said draw and a Lukaku folding of Van Dijk t-shirt, apparently. Yes. You didn't give your prediction there.
I did.
You said 1-1. I said 1-1.
You said 1-1 too.
Okay. No, he said 2-2. Wonga said 2-2.
Yeah, I said 2-2.
Yeah, because it'll be goals.
Go on.
What's your prediction?
My prediction is I'm going to say Liverpool win just because of, I think, the Anfield, the 12th man, the X factor. And I think Salah tends to play in this game. This is his game. But
you don't know.
He does play in this game. This Chelsea game, he loves it, especially at home. So you watch. If you want to captain someone for Fantasy League, captain Salah, I'm going to say 2-0 victory or 2-1 victory to Liverpool. Let's say Lukaku gets his goal, but he folds someone else, not Van Dijk. Right, last game for the evening. Celo, Wolves versus Man United. They've just lost against Spurs. I mean, second travelling game away from home for Man United. Expected to win, really.
No, man. There's no therefore in the Premier League, guys. I think we need to respect every single team. Wolves have lost both of their first two games by one goal margins. And they also should have probably drawn those games because they had a lot of chances. Traore... if he had his shooting boots on, I think he would have definitely got them a point in both games because he missed clear chances in both games. It'll be interesting to see how Man United sets up because Scott McTominay went for a groin injury surgery today, and he was brought on ahead of Donny at the weekend, and already he didn't start the game on the weekend because he had a bit of a niggle. So that in itself shows that Solskjaer is willing to put on the player who is not 100% ahead of a Donny who is 100%. You know, so let's see now. Does he trust Donny? Because Scott is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Free Donny.
Free him. You know what I mean? Free Donny.
He says he's fighting for his place there.
That's the thing is that you have a personal self belief to say, I can do it. I can prove the manager wrong. And I think that, you know, the best way for Donny to have a great career at Man United is for him to outlast the manager. That's his best chance of having a great career at Man United, is to outlast Solskjaer. So let's see what happens on the weekend. I think he needs to start Donny and Matic in the midfield and drop Fred. If he doesn't do that, I'll be very concerned. But I've always been concerned about him as a manager. But I think I'll be even more concerned about him as a manager if he persists with a Fred Matic centre midfield partnership that didn't do well against Southampton. And I think that this is the game that Varane should start and Sanchez should start. I think it's enough time that they've trained with the squad. There's no excuses now, especially on the back of a draw. You know, if you're saying that we won two games in a row, why should you change a winning team, for instance, you know? But you're changing a team that's drawn and that actually didn't play that well against Southampton. So I think this is a game to bring in the new signings and actually also bring in Donny as well. And that's three changes I'll make to the team.
Yeah, why not? Release him. Release Sancho as well.
Everyone.
Because he's going to be eager. He's going to be eager to start, man.
Exactly, man. So release them and let them play, man. Let them have a good time.
Yeah. Wonga?
Yeah, look, I think I agree with you. They need to start Donny on that point. I mean, for all the reasons that you said, I don't want to add on to that. But Wolves, I think Man United have what it takes up front to beat the Wolves. Again, yeah, the only problem I can see is Achari can cause anyone problems. But the way he's finishing, unless he's really gonna like put his head down and work on it, I don't see it improving.
Traore had Kane left for Spurs, it probably would have been a player that would have wanted, you know, the manager would have liked to bring him with to Spurs, just from a counter-attacking perspective and adding to the pace that they already have. And if you got a Son, at least you got a player who can finish, and he got the pace of Traore.
You can play Son
100%
through the middle because, but the thing is, guys, is that Traore needs a striker who can hit the ball into the net. Because he's very good at crossing, guys. He's very good at crossing. That combination he has with Jimenez is telepathic, guys. And the amount of crosses he's put on Jimenez's head, he always needs a striker to hit the ball. So I think if Kane had left and there was just Son, Son doesn't really hit the ball. I don't even know if Son has a hit a goal in the Premier League, you know. He's always shooting with left and right, you know.
That's a good thing to look up. We need to see that. Someone's got bad evidence. Please share it with us.
Yeah, that's definitely.
This is a big shot. Sam asking Varane to start tomorrow, or when the game is not tomorrow. My bad.
On Sunday, yes, he has to start. Yeah. Man. I if he doesn't start, man, guys, I need to. I'm gonna catch a flight to Old Trafford and go remove Solskjaer myself.
Knock on his door and say what's up.
Not knock on his door. I'm gonna remove him. I'm gonna remove him from that head coach role because
he man handling.
His decision making, guys, is poor.
You
guys.
Know what? I think you can save yourself an airfare because I think you won't be the only one. I think the local residents that side, they'll sort that out.
They'll sort that out. Okay, no, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that's what I think. All right, gentlemen, predictions for this one.
I would say 2-0 to Man United. Yeah, like I said, they've got it going up front. I just don't see Wolves scoring. Yeah.
Hey, man, guys. I think because my team cannot defend. But okay, if Varane starts, right, 2-0. If Lindelof starts, 2-1.
That's true.
Yeah, hey. I think that's a great shot. Good assessment there. Yeah. Mm. Sam saying 3-1 United. I've still got Fernandes in my team. I've got Pogba in my fantasy team. So I'm going to be not really want to be backing a United, but I'm expecting a United to win. And, you know, Fernandes, he's an all or nothing type of player. If United do well, you see his name on that score sheet, whether it be an assist or a goal. If they don't do well, you know he's been absent. It's one of those things. So we're going to see whether or not what kind of Fernandes we get on the weekend. Begging to the question that Sam asked earlier as to, you know, are they going to find out? Yeah.
It can happen.
Yep. Gentlemen, that pretty much wraps up the show. Final thoughts before we go.
My final thoughts, there was a comment here that I wanted to reply to. I forgot what the guy was saying.
Settle's going back in the archives. Ugh, I mean, Wonga's going back in the archives. Settle, you might as well go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, you have it, Wonga. Yeah, got it. It says, it is by Mark. He was saying the Arsenal problems are quite complex, beginning with ownership and front office, but in the end, Arteta will end up as a scapegoat, put fans back in the stadium. It's only going to get tougher. So, yeah, so with that, what Mark was saying is that I agree with that. I know Silo was saying, and obviously, if you hire, your problems would be different. But I think for me, Arsenal's got the worst problems, you know. And I think like the way, like I did mention last the show, the way Edu is also.
Sorry, I'm laughing, guys. egg is an egg, guys. scrambled posts.
Provide the context. If you're watching for the first time, watching Goal Line Show for the first time, you'll know an egg is a saying that gets thrown around by Matthew. And yeah. Still always gets unpacking it.
So it gets thrown around where there's a penalty decision that we find dubious. And Matt says if the penalty is given, an egg is an egg. Whether it's scrambled, whether it's poached or whatever, a penalty is a penalty.
Yeah. So, yeah, what I was like, the first point I wanted to say was that, in terms of Arteta being the scapegoat, it's like, even when, like I was saying, like, even the media do it, like, if they're going to put, like, Arsenal signing or how much they've spent, you know, they're going to put Arteta's face there. But I'm telling you, the guy hasn't had a say in what, those people are signing. But the person who probably has the most say is that Mr. Sporting Director there, Edu. And he's been doing, I don't think he's been doing a good job. Yes, we've got Tavares, but I think it was good they signed Mart Udogard now. Yeah, Tavares and Udogard. I think they've done all there. But I think, I mean, like, the signings of Willian, like the waste he's done, I think has been obviously it's not good at all.
The second
point is that in terms of us playing at home, like it being tougher, is that I think Arsenal also, I know it's tough, I know it's rogue, but think about it. Like for us here watching at home, yeah, sharp shots. But I mean, they're in the stadium. Arsenal needs support. You know what I mean? Look, it's going through tough patches, you know. Try for one game, at least one game, especially against City. You know, they probably got no hope in hell, but we want to win. We need points. Try just get behind them. Help, like just, you know, support them in everything that they're trying to do there.
You have come onto the show this evening and you have said you do not see them with any hope of winning. But you're telling your fans to go there and support them and just believe that they're going to win.
No, I'm talking about supporting them. Do you understand what we are supporting, Claudio? It's like that thing of if Arsenal concede one, Arsenal fans are out the window. They're gone. They're gone. There's no getting behind the players, supporting the... I've seen it like at Anfield. The players are behind Liverpool. Like they're behind you. Even the time when your boy, Rodgers, not Rodgers, before Rodgers was there. Look, the fans were, who was there before Rodgers? When things went. Yeah. The fans were behind they're behind the players. You know, there is a point where they tip, but Arsenal, it's never been like that. It's always, they say it, you're quiet. It's almost like we expect them to win. Get behind the players just once. Get behind the players. Even get behind Granit Xhaka when you're there. Try to cheer them on. When the guy's missing the ball, there's someone behind him. Shout, scream. I don't know, but try to get behind the goddamn players. Jeez. Maybe that'll help. When they feel this.
Final thoughts there from Wonga. They're going to get behind your team, support the lads.
Wonga. Wonga. You know, I was thinking about something about your club, but I'll just drop this bomb about your club. It's the fact that David Luiz and Willian's agent, it's the same person. Yeah? His name is Kia Jorobushan. He's the guy who used to represent Tevez and Mascherano, the scandal, owns 50% of the player, the other club owns 50% of the player, type of thing, whatever.
I remember that. Guy
is the agent of Willian and David Luiz, and he's very close friends with Edu. Okay. So that's my thought for Wonga. But yeah, let's last round of games before the international break. I think some teams will obviously want to have 9 points from 9. I want Man United to get a good, convincing victory with a clean sheet. I prefer a clean sheet. 1-0 would be the best possible result for me. I'll take that over a 4-1 any day.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm going to end off with saying, calm as you like, Virgil van Dijk. There we go, Wonga Denga.
It's calm. He's going to be sleeping. Lukaku's going to put him to sleep. Yeah, that's how calm he'll be.
Thanks to everyone who tuned in. Sam, Warren, Mark, Nick, Kolwa. Who else was there? There was Nicholas.
Nicholas
Lagan. Colange Edmund.
Nicholas Lagan. Yeah, no one else. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks a lot,
and
guys.
And also, you know how to end the show. 3, 2, 1.
Stop it.
Stop it.